Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. I know you've all been dying to know, so I'm happy to announce that we finally got some snow. Yes, we did. We got about 2 inches. It is mostly melted now, but we can say that it was not a snowless winter. So go us. And meanwhile, while the heat here means that we may not be getting the snow that we're used to, in other parts of the world, where it is currently summer, it means they are experiencing brutal wildfires. In Australia, Victoria is experiencing some of the worst fires that they have had since the 2020 bushfire season, which they called the Black Summer. Back then, in 2020, you probably remember this because this was right before COVID. It went from the end of 2019 into the beginning of 2020, and those fires burned a significant portion of Australia's bush. When we talk about the actual, I just thought this stat was crazy. 3% of all of Australia burned that year. It was more than 24 million hectares, which is 59 million acres, 240,000 square kilometers, which is 93,000 square miles. It destroyed over 3,000 buildings. It killed at least 33 people directly, plus hundreds more through smoke and those types of things. And it killed an estimated 3 billion vertebrates, mostly reptiles. And they believe that some species may have even been driven to extinction from those fires. The fires this year so far are not as bad as 2019-2020, very thankfully. But these latest fires in Victoria are very intense, and they've only started about a week ago, at least at the time of recording this. Those fires have already burned more than 350,000 hectares, which is 860,000 acres, destroyed more than 300 structures, and has killed at least one person. Remains of one individual have been found, and there were reports of a few others that were missing, including a child. There are currently dozens of fires that are burning, more than 30, 12 of which are considered severe. And this is all due to a heat wave that Victoria and most of Australia has been experiencing this week. By the time you're hearing this, the fires may have gotten much worse and spread further, or they may have calmed down. Though Chris Hardman, who was the Forest Fire Management in Victoria, said that these fires will not be contained before it gets hot, dry, and windy again. So these fires have left more than 30,000 houses without power for a time, and this in a time when, again, this heat wave is causing temperatures to soar past 40 degrees Celsius, which is above 104 degrees Fahrenheit. They evacuated several rural towns, with the Emergency Management Commissioner Tim Wybush saying, if you don't leave now, it could result in your life being lost. Country Fire Authority boss Jason Heffernan said the fire danger was catastrophic, the most severe rating possible. Victorians should brace themselves for more property loss or worse. Today is going to be quite a hectic and volatile day for firefighters, fire authorities, and communities. They did say that the worst bushfires have so far been confined to sparsely populated rural areas, where towns might number a few hundred people at the most. In regards to the heat wave itself, the article here, and by the way, this is an article in phys.org, says that hundreds of baby bats died earlier this week as stifling temperatures settled over the neighboring state of South Australia. There are concerns over the well-being of cattle, and of course for the millions of people in Australia who are suffering through the heat wave, many of whom are losing power due to these fires. So my thoughts are with those in Australia who might be suffering through this. If you are in an area experiencing fires, I'd love to hear maybe your thoughts, you know, what you're seeing, and we'll just hope from here that the fire season ends without too much acceleration from here. There have also been fires burning in other countries, namely Argentina and Chile, and these ones, mixed obviously with dry conditions, are believed to have been the result of arson. There are plenty of conspiracies around who is behind the arson, the purpose by which they are doing it. We live in a world which, while suffering through the impacts of climate change, is being more and more set up for these large fires. And while it's hard enough to stop them from accidentally happening, It really would only take a small number of people to intentionally set fires to do just an unbelievable amount of damage to wildlife, right? To our forests, to the increase in pollution and everything that comes with a growing number of fires. Meanwhile, an article in The Guardian says, profound impacts. Record ocean heat is intensifying climate disasters, data shows. Oceans absorb 90% of all global heating, making them a stark indicator of the relentless march of the climate crisis. So I'm going to read some numbers here. It says, the world's oceans absorbed colossal amounts of heat in 2025, setting yet another new record and fueling more extreme weather. This links to a paper which shows ocean heat content and the anomalies that are being experienced in that ocean heat content. So it talks about how the ocean heat content anomaly in the top 2 kilometers of the ocean is increasing steadily, with the y-axis of the chart showing in zettajoules, 10 to the 21st power of joules. I don't know a lot about how that converts, you know, energy-wise and how that compares, but somebody did talk about how something like 3.6 billion Hiroshima atomic bombs worth of heat has been absorbed in the ocean since 1998. And of course, the article talks about some of these the impacts of this warming. It says the extra heat makes the hurricanes and typhoons hitting coastal communities more intense, causes heavier downpours of rain and greater flooding, and results in longer marine heat waves, which decimate life in the seas. The rising heat is also a major driver of sea level rise via the thermal expansion of seawater, threatening billions of people. The atmosphere is a smaller store of heat and more affected by natural climate variations, such as the El Niño-La Niña cycle. The average surface air temperature in 2025 is expected to approximately tie with 2023 as the second hottest year since records began in 1850, with 2024 being the hottest. Last year, the planet moved into the cooler La Niña phase of the Pacific Ocean cycle. Global warming is ocean warming, said Professor John Abram at the University of St. Thomas in Minnesota. If you want to know how much the Earth has warmed or how fast we will warm into the future, the answer is in the oceans. Here's an interesting factoid. It says the amount of heat taken up by the ocean is colossal, equivalent to more than 200 times the total amount of electricity used by humans across the world. Ocean warming is not uniform, with some areas warming faster than others. In 2025, the hottest areas included the tropical and South Atlantic and North Pacific oceans and the Southern Ocean. In the latter, which surrounds Antarctica, scientists are deeply concerned about a collapse in winter sea ice in recent years. The North Atlantic and the Mediterranean are also getting warmer, as well as saltier, more acidic, and less oxygenated owing to the climate crisis. This is causing a deep-reaching ocean state change in making the ocean's ecosystems and the life they support more fragile. It ends by saying that as long as the Earth's heat continues to increase, ocean heat content will continue to rise and records will continue to fall. The biggest climate uncertainty is what humans decide to do. Together, we can reduce emissions and help safeguard a future climate where humans can thrive. As always, ending the article saying that there's still hope for us to make changes in order to allow humans to thrive. One item that I think is interesting that it mentions is that we have reliable records going back 1,000 years, but they believe that it is likely that we are now heating up faster, the oceans, faster than at least the last 2,000 years, and possibly even going back 20,000 years. I will link to the paper here so that you can read through it if you would like. But in the end, the main point being that the rate at which the oceans are warming is accelerating. Even from like the 1970s to the early 2000s, and then from the 2000s to today, there is a rapid uptake in the amount of heat. And as that heat continues to spread, we start to see all of the feedback loops discussed previously, in that the increase in freshwater around Greenland is going to decrease the rate at which the AMOC is able to move, which will have dire effects, right? And then we've also got things like albedo, cascading effects in the Antarctic, especially in West Antarctica due to the Doomsday Glacier and the breaking off of the Tongue at Thwaites Glacier. Anyway, there's just all sorts of cascading effects, not just on the climate, but also on the ecosystems that thrive on certain balances of ocean salinity and acidity that can cascade up and down the food chains as those effects take place. This article very, you know, lightly at the end says, yes, but of course it all depends on what we as humans choose to do. We as humans right now are choosing to do some of the worst that we can do, right? We're not fixing this, especially in the West. The U.S., leading the way, but other countries following suit in giving up their climate goals. Climate change is making the news less. People are thinking about it and caring about it less. I know that for many in the U.S., as fascism takes hold, it also takes over the news cycle. It takes over people's mental space. People can really only hold so much room for drama, for fear, for anxiety, for things that they need to take action on and change in their minds and hearts at once. And I think that the rapid intensification of the political issues in the U.S. is occupying that space for so many people. And so some of these, you know, what they feel are longer term issues like climate change get put to the side. That, of course, mixed with Donald Trump intentionally destroying the narrative around climate change, and it's a recipe for disaster. Wherever you are, I hope you are staying safe and staying well. Starting tomorrow for a few days, I'm going to be at a work conference, which means I'm not going to be in my normal routine at home. I am still going to try to take my laptop and my microphone if I get some time in the evenings to continue to record some episodes, but just know that there's a possibility in the next little bit that there's a day or here or there that might get missed. All right. Thanks for being here. Talk to you again soon. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.